The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that answers the question,
is it possible to make a vowel sound out of a potato?
Can the word potato be a verb?
What about an actual potato? Can that be a verb?
What about the word verb? Can the word verb be a verb? Can it be a potato?
Mama, I'm scaring myself.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas, and we're in the middle of a special radio adaptation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, A Ministry of Crew. Now, folks, imagine 500 million people have come to faith around the world after viewing this film. That is incredible. And so this Christmas Day, it's our gift to you. So let's pick up the story where we left off as we enjoy part two of our presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, A Ministry of Crew.
People eagerly watched him and listened closely, even when they didn't quite understand.
What is the kingdom of God like? It is like this. A man takes a grain of mustard seed and plants it in his field. The plant grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make their nests in its branches.
I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Even though his teaching challenged the adults, his gentle manner attracted the children. They sat listening at his feet. Jesus said to his disciples,
"Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by whom they come. It would be better for him that a stone were tied about his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin."
Make our faith greater.
If you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea," and it would obey you.
Exactly when will this come, God's kingdom?
The kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen. No one will say, "Look, there it is," or "Here it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. The time will come when you will wish that you could see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. As the lightning flashes across the sky and lights it up from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be on his day. But first, he must suffer much and be rejected by the people of this day.
Jesus always loved being with children. Sometimes his disciples tried to keep them away from him, but Jesus gently picked them up in his arms, teaching his followers by example.
"Allow the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will in no way enter in."
One morning, as Jesus and his followers prepared to leave, a rich leader ran after them and knelt reverently before Jesus. The man wanted to know how he could live forever with God after he died.
"Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?"
"Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Respect your mother and your father."
"Ever since I was young, I have obeyed all these commandments."
"There is still one more thing you need to do. You must sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me."
The wealthy man bowed his head and went away sadly. Jesus watched him depart. Speaking to his followers, Jesus said,
"How hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It is harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle."
"Who then can be saved?"
"What is impossible for man is possible for God."
Due to his unusual teaching about God and his compassion towards so many outcasts of society, Jesus gathered large crowds wherever he went. One day, he and his followers neared a small city, where a blind beggar sat by the road.
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.
Jesus! Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me!
Jesus stopped and ordered the man be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him,
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
The miracles that Jesus did supported his claim that he was indeed God's son. His close followers identified him as the Messiah, God's chosen one. Jesus passed through the city of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Large, festive crowds met him everywhere. Many asked about how to find forgiveness for their sins and gain entrance into God's kingdom.
This man truly is a prophet.
My master, save me.
Oh, Lord, save us. Save us.
Praise the Lord.
A wealthy but dishonest tax collector named Zacchaeus was living in Jericho. He was very eager to see Jesus, but being a short man, he could not see over the crowd filling the city streets. So he climbed one of the many large trees in town to get above the other people.
That's the tax collector.
Jesus stopped under the tree and looked up.
Hurry down, Zacchaeus, for I must stay in your house today.
My house?
Who told us to stay in his house?
How does Zacchaeus know Jesus?
Overjoyed, Zacchaeus climbed down and happily welcomed Jesus to his home. But the crowds were shocked. Tax collectors were known to cheat their own people. No other religious leader would ever be seen with such a hated representative of the Roman oppressors. The compassion that Jesus showed to Zacchaeus affected him greatly.
Listen, I will give half of my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much.
I don't believe it! A tax collector paying back his taxes? Impossible!
Salvation has come to this house today. For this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Jesus knew what the future would bring in nearby Jerusalem, and he spoke privately with his disciples about what lay ahead.
Listen, we are going to Jerusalem, where everything the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and treat him shamefully and spit upon him. He will be whipped and killed, but on the third day, he will rise.
Nearing Jerusalem, Jesus chose to travel into the city riding upon a young donkey. This fulfilled a prophecy from 500 years before about a victorious king entering the city upon a humble donkey. The crowd surrounding Jesus delighted at his coming and called him their king.
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord!
Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David!
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest!
Some religious leaders in the crowd began to complain to Jesus.
Teacher, command your disciples to be quiet!
I tell you that if they were to be quiet, the stones themselves would begin shouting.
Our King is come!
Come!
Hosanna to the Son of David!
He healed my daughter!
He is the King!
He opened my eyes!
But as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he stopped and looked out over the city. He wept as he predicted its destruction, because so many did not accept him as their Messiah.
If only, on this your day you had known the path for peace, but you have failed to see it. The days will come when your enemies will build ramparts to surround you and hem you in, pressing hard from every side. And within These walls, they will destroy you, you and your children. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.
You are listening to the Eric Metaxas Show on Christmas Day. How do you like our Christmas gift to you? It's a special presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, the Ministry of Crew, and it continues after these words. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, and today, Christmas Day, we're all listening to a special presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a Ministry of Crew. Let's jump back to the story.
It was the week before Passover, the special religious gathering in Jerusalem. Jesus crossed the wide porch of the temple and entered the large courtyard. The temple was for worship and prayer, but the priests had allowed this part of the holy building to become a bustling marketplace, where merchants exchanged currency and sold animals for sacrifice in the temple.
I want to buy 2 doves.
Goats! I have the best goats!
Jesus became angry. Turning over the money tables, Jesus drove the merchants from the grounds.
It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.
He's heading for my animals. Stop him! Stop him!
Get the guards! Get the guards!
The political and religious leaders of the city felt increasing concern about Jesus' following, because his popularity was growing.
I understand that many have already hailed him as king.
A king? A king of beggars, whores and thieves? We've seen his kind before. They come, they make their claims, they go, they're forgotten.
Don't be blind. His following is growing by the day. People admire him.
And think he is a king. Let me give you a warning. If this man should threaten the peace further, I shall look to you.
Perhaps he's right. It's time we confronted the Galilean.
Each day, Jesus taught in the temple.
Come to me and listen to my words. Hear me, and you shall have life. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. For he will abundantly pardon. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace.
One day, a group of religious leaders approached Jesus, challenging his right to teach and do miracles.
Tell us, what right do you have to say these things? Who gave you such right?
Now let me ask you a question. Tell me, did John's right to baptize come from God or from man?
The leaders moved back to discuss the work of John the Baptist in private.
What shall we say?
If we were to say from God, he will say, why then don't you believe John?
But if we say from man, this whole crowd here will stone us. They're all convinced that John was a prophet.
The puzzled leaders returned to Jesus.
We don't know where it came from.
Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things.
Knowing the dishonesty of some religious leaders, Jesus ignored them and began telling a story.
There was once a man who planted a vineyard, rented it out to tenants, and then left home for a long time.
His listeners knew the scene well. Vineyards grew on fertile hillsides terraced with rocks. Wealthy landowners leased the land to tenants under the condition that the tenants would share part of the harvest with the landowner.
When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent a slave to the tenants to receive from them his share of the harvest. But the tenants beat the slave and sent him back without a thing. So, he sent another slave. But the tenants beat him too, treated him shamefully, and sent him back without a thing. Then he sent a third slave, but the tenants wounded him too and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said to himself, "What shall I do? I will send my own dear son. Surely they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him coming, they said to one another, "This is the owner's son. Let's kill him, and his property will be ours."
"Tell us more, Lord."
So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants? He will come and kill those men and give the vineyard over to other tenants. What then does this scripture mean? The stone, which the builders rejected as worthless, turned out to be the most important of all. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And if that stone falls on someone, it will crush him to dust.
Some religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus right then because they knew he told his stories about them. But others were afraid of his popularity. So they decided instead to try to trick him.
"Teacher, we know that what you say and teach is right. We know that you pay no attention to man's status, but you teach the truth about God's will for man. Tell us, is it against our law for us to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not?"
Most Jews hated the rulers from Rome that had occupied their city. They believed that paying money to Caesar was against their religious law. Yet if Jesus gave public support to this popular attitude, he could be charged with rebellion against the government and turned over to the Roman authorities. But Jesus responded quickly.
"Show me a silver coin. Whose face and name are these on it?"
"Caesar!"
"Then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's."
"What's your answer to that?"
The religious leaders were amazed at the words of Jesus. On one occasion, he paused outside the temple to watch people bring their gifts of worship to God. Among those who came was a poor widow who brought only two small coins.
"It's very little.
Can't you give more?"
"I tell you that this poor widow put in more than all the others. For the others offered their gifts from what they had to spare of their riches. But she, poor as she is, put in all that she had to live on."
The chief priests and the teachers of the law continued to plot to have Jesus killed. Their solution came from one of his own 12 disciples. The devil entered into Judas Iscariot, and he met secretly with the chief priests and agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. At this time, the Jews began to celebrate the Passover feast. Peter and John, the two closest followers of Jesus, were sent to bring back a lamb and make other preparations for the meal. Then Jesus and the 12 disciples gathered in the large upper room of a house and reclined around the table.
"I have wanted so much to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will never eat it again until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of God."
The meal itself was an important ceremony. It was a reminder of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt more than 1,000 years before. It also foretold a future deliverance by a long-awaited Messiah who would forgive their sins and establish his kingdom. During the meal, Jesus took some bread and prayed over it.
"Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Jesus broke the bread and passed it to each of his followers. Then he offered them a cup of wine from which each man could drink.
"Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from the vine. Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. This cup
is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the one who is going to betray me is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man must die as God has determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed.
Is it I? Surely not I, Master.
Lord, who is it?
Ask him which one he means.
Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has earnestly begged God and asked to have all of you, to sift you as wheat is sifted, trying your faith. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back to me, you must strengthen your brethren.
Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and to die with you.
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day before that you shall three times deny that you know me. When I sent you out without purse or bag or shoes, did you lack anything?
No, not a thing.
But now, whoever has a purse or bag must take it, and whoever has no sword must sell his mantle and buy one. For I tell you, it is written in the scriptures, and he was counted among the transgressors, and what was written about me is coming true.
It's a dose of inspiration on Christmas Day. You are listening to a special presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew, here on the Eric Metaxas Show. There's more coming up next. We're back on the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas. It is Christmas Day today, and our gift to you is this show. So we're bringing you our radio version of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew, and let's return to the program.
That night, Jesus and his followers left Jerusalem and went to the Mount of Olives to pray. Turning from the road, they entered a small, enclosed garden. Nearby stood a large stone device used to crush olives for oil. It had given the garden its name, Gethsemane, meaning oil press. Jesus cautioned his followers,
"Pray that you may not enter into temptation."
Knowing that the time of his betrayal and execution was coming soon, Jesus moved a short distance from his followers and knelt to pray.
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."
In his agony, Jesus broke into a sweat, and great drops fell as blood to the ground. An angel came from heaven to strengthen him. When he got up, Jesus found that his followers were asleep. Suddenly, a whole company of priests and guards approached, led by Judas Iscariot. The disloyal disciple came up to Jesus to embrace him. Jesus asked him,
"Judas, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?"
Several disciples grabbed for swords they had concealed in their robes.
"Lord, shall we strike with a sword?"
"Come on, arrest him."
Peter jumped to the defense of Jesus and slashed at the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Jesus calmly touched the servant's ear and healed him.
A miracle!
His followers fled, fearful for their lives. Through the dark, deserted streets of Jerusalem, the soldiers rushed Jesus to the house of the high priest.
"Guard him well."
Peter followed at a distance, right into the courtyard. A large fire burned nearby as the guards prepared for a long night. Peter joined the servants sitting around the fire until someone recognized him.
"This man too was with Jesus."
"Woman, I don't even know him."
"I saw them together."
The guards blindfolded Jesus and began to beat him.
"Who hit you?" "Guess!
Prophesy! Who will hit you next?"
Later that night, as Peter paced nervously around the palace grounds, someone else noticed him.
"You are one of them too."
"But I am not."
Meanwhile, the High Council of Religious Leaders quickly assembled. an official was sent to get the prisoner from the sneering guards.
Your humble servants!
Stop it! Stop it, I said! Bring him before the council.
Go.
The council leaders began to question Jesus.
Tell us, are you the Messiah?
If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you a question, you will not answer me. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right side of Almighty God.
Are you then the Son of God?
You say that I am.
Who gives him the authority to say that?
We ourselves have heard what he said.
Guilty.
We will take him to Pilate.
Away with him.
Yes, yes. Away with
him.
As Jesus was led away, a man in the crowd pointed out Peter.
There is no doubt that this man was with Jesus because he is also a Galilean.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jesus turned and looked at his follower and friend. Peter remembered the prediction.
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day before that you shall three times deny that you know me.
Peter fled from the courtyard in tears. In the early morning, a group of temple guards hurried through the narrow passageways of Jerusalem, pushing a lone man towards the residence of Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea.
Move!
Pilate was known for the execution of thousands, and he cared little for the Jews.
What do you want here, at this hour of the morning?
We caught this man deceiving our people.
He caused an uproar in the temple market.
What will be his punishment?
Yes!
Sentence him!
Yes!
Roman officials had little interest in local religious arguments until civil order fell apart.
I see no reason to condemn this man. No reason.
We found him guilty, telling them not to pay taxes to the emperor, claiming himself the Messiah, a king.
This charge caught Pilate's attention. It might mean treason and a threat to his own position.
A king? Are you the king of the Jews?
So you say.
He began teaching in Galilee, and now he has come here.
In Galilee? Is this man a Galilean? In that case, we'll let Herod deal with him. He's still here in Jerusalem, isn't he? Take him to Herod.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're enjoying our special presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew on this Christmas Day installment of the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around, more coming up after this. You're listening to the Christmas Day edition of the Eric Metaxas Show. Let's return to our presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew.
The accusers of Jesus took him to Herod's palace.
It is said by many you can perform miracles. Do one for me.
Jesus said nothing, but the religious leaders, officials, and priests could not keep silent.
My Lord, he has been corrupting all the people. He calls himself the king.
This man? A king?
Herod began to insult Jesus and humiliated him by draping a scarlet robe around his back.
Send him back to Pilate. This is his province.
By the time Jesus, the guards, and religious leaders returned to Pilate's quarters, a huge crowd had gathered. Military officials, Passover celebrants, and many others now stood before his judgment seat. Yet Pilate was still unwilling to condemn Jesus.
This man has done nothing to deserve death. So I will have him whipped and let him go.
Influenced by the religious leaders, the crowd had a different request. It had become a local custom at Passover for the Romans to release one prisoner condemned to death.
Release to us Barabbas.
Yes.
Kill Jesus.
Crucify him.
The violent beating of Jesus by the guards did not satisfy the increasing rage of the crowd. Fearing a riot, Pilate finally agreed to have Jesus crucified, nailed to a wooden cross. Under pressure from the crowd, Pilate agreed to release the murderer Barabbas. As he gave the orders to crucify Jesus, he claimed,
I am innocent of this man's blood.
Yes, his blood be upon us and upon our children.
The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace.
Tell us what's gonna happen.
Are you gonna save us?
Your Majesty!
Are you gonna save us?
Let's finish the job.
After beating him again, the soldiers dressed Jesus in his own robe and tied a wooden crossbar to his wounded back. Then they pushed him out into the crowded streets of Jerusalem and forced him to march through the city.
Move!
Just before 9 o'clock in the morning, the soldiers headed for a common place of execution outside Jerusalem
back.
Called Golgotha.
Back!
Or the place of the skull.
Get back!
The poor man is half
Get
dead.
Get back! Get away!
He's been tortured beyond belief.
Keep away from him!
Weak with exhaustion, Jesus stumbled to the ground. To keep things moving, the Roman commander searched the crowd for someone else to carry the wooden beam.
You, what's your name?
Simon of Cyrene, sir.
Step over here.
Cut the ropes.
You carry it.
A large number of people followed Jesus, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Several women approached Jesus.
We weep for you, Lord. We weep. Drink this.
Drink, Lord.
Drink.
Women of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For if such things as these take place when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Oh, God, help you!
We will pray for you.
Finally, they arrived at Golgotha, and the gruesome work began. Jesus, now joined by two criminals, was stripped of his outer garments. His crossbar was attached to a wooden post forming a cross to which his hands were nailed. The soldiers also drove spikes into his feet.
Get on with it. Raise the cross. You, put the peg in. Support ropes. Loose!
After putting all three men's crosses upright, the soldiers placed a sign above Jesus that read, This is the King of the Jews. Then they waited for the three men to die and watched the crowd that stood nearby. After some time, Jesus spoke from the cross.
Forgive them, Father. For they don't know what they're doing.
The soldiers, not allowed to leave their posts, found a distraction, deciding who would own the clothes of Jesus.
This is no ordinary mystic's garment.
Let go. No, don't tear it. I tell you what, let's pay for this.
I've got it. Come on, no.
And what will you do with it now that you've won it?
Standing among the onlookers were some of the religious leaders who had condemned Jesus.
He has saved others. Let him save himself.
Yes, save yourself if you're the Messiah. Come down from the cross.
Show us one of your miracles.
As Jesus hung on the cross, a soldier pushed a sponge up to his mouth, dripping with sour wine.
Save yourself if you're the King of the Jews.
Jesus rejected the wine. One of the criminals who hung there with him also hurled insults at him.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us!
Don't you fear God? We received the same sentence he did, but he has done no wrong. Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king.
I promise you, today you will be in paradise with me.
Time passed, and although it was still daytime, darkness swept across the land. Some distance away, in the temple, was an area known as the Holy of Holies. Once a year, a priest went into the Holy of Holies to ask God's forgiveness for all the sins of the people. The huge curtain which separated the priest from God's presence suddenly tore from top to bottom.
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
The hardened Roman commander had seen many men die, but none like this.
Glory be to God!
Certainly this was a righteous man.
Later, a soldier stabbed a spear into the side of Jesus. Blood and water poured out, proof that he was really dead. Sometimes, bodies were left hanging on the crosses overnight, but not during high holy days. Joseph of Arimathea, a religious leader who had not agreed to the death sentence of Jesus, asked Pilate if he could bury his body. Pilate agreed. Joseph wrapped the body of Jesus in linen, laid it in his new tomb, and sealed the doorway with a heavy rock.
This is a special radio adaptation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew on the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas. Thanks for spending some of your Christmas day with us. We'll continue with our special presentation after these words. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, and today, Christmas Day, you're listening to a special presentation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew. So let's rejoin the program to hear the conclusion of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project.
As Joseph and his helpers were leaving the tomb, they noticed a group of women. They had followed Jesus when he was alive and had watched his death from a distance.
We'll get spices and ointments to prepare the body of our Lord.
I will help. But hurry, the Sabbath is approaching.
Once they knew where the tomb was located, the women returned to the city to prepare spices and linen strips. According to custom, these would be used to wrap the body of Jesus. On Sunday morning at first light, the women hurried to the garden tomb. They expected problems because the huge rock would be very heavy. Much to their surprise, the stone had been moved away, and they discovered the body of Jesus was missing. Two men in shining robes suddenly appeared. The women trembled with fear as the angels spoke to them.
Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man will be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, rise again.
Memories of Jesus came over the women. Memories of all he had told them when he taught on the hillsides and along the roadway.
You shall tell no man of this. The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected. He will be put to death, but 3 days later will be raised to life.
With new understanding, the women rushed back to find the 11 disciples of Jesus. Peter ran to see for himself. And as the confusing day wore on, two other men hurried back to the gathering of followers in Jerusalem with an amazing report.
The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.
We didn't recognize him. Not on the road.
But when he broke bread, then we knew him.
At Emmaus. How strange he should go there.
Peace be with you.
Jesus suddenly stood in the center of the group. No door had opened or closed.
Master!
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost.
Why are you troubled? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Feel me, and you will know. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see I have. These are the very things I spoke to you about while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms had to come true. This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
On a mountain in Galilee, he met the 11 disciples.
The Lord bless you and keep you. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go then and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
Finally, 40 days after his return to life from the dead, Jesus led his disciples out to a garden area on the Mount of Olives. He lifted his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was lifted up into heaven.
And that concludes our special radio adaptation of Jesus from the Jesus Film Project, a ministry of Crew, on the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I thank you for sharing some of your holiday with us. So have a blessed Christmas, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.